First thing went down. Okay, here we go. Welcome. God is good. That's all I'm going to say. Before we start, I want to start with prayer, but I do want to start by saying good evening. And God is good, and His mercies endureth forever. I'm counting on that tonight. But I want to pray 2 Timothy chapter 16 and 17 over the body. So please join me in prayer. Father God, your word says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Father God, that's our purpose tonight, that's our prayer tonight, is that your word would so equip us, God, that you would equip us for every good work that we are to do for the kingdom of God as we leave here tonight. All that we say, all that we do, may it bring glory and honor to you. May your word go forth with power. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
Amen.
All right. I'm going to start with a little something that I have written in my journal. I have a journal that I write on every year. Let me just start by saying this is loud. This is loud. But as I wear this shirt, my wife, she made this shirt. And so when I put it on, she's wrapped me up. She's got me wrapped, and God's got me wrapped on top of that. But I like this because where I grew up, we want colors. We love colors. And so part of this goes back to when I grew up in Virginia and Newport News. And we call that the South, but we don't call it the Deep South. So the Deep South is where we used to say, that's where the Southern people are, but we're just in the South. But part of the South of my growing up is I grew up in a Pentecostal home. My mom was a Pentecostal preacher. I didn't receive Jesus Christ during those times. But as I read this, I want you to understand there's some songs in here that mom would sing in the midst of trouble. And when mama began to sing songs, I began to say, uh-oh, there's no food on the table. Because there wasn't. And mama didn't have any money, but she would start singing these songs. And so I might break out in a few of them. I just ask you to bear with me. But at the beginning of this year, as some of you may know, I like to pray at the beginning of the year, God, bring trouble. I say, and some of you men know this well, bring it on. Well, when you say bring it on, some people say, look out, that's not a good thing to do, excuse me. But I want God to bring it on because I want our troubles, I want them to try me and refine me and refine who I am in Him. So every year I kind of start with God bring it on. But last year my wife said, you know, you're going to have to stop praying that. I got some issues. But this year in January, here's the way it went. And I wrote it on the first page of my 2016 journal. I said, and so 2016 begins. Lord, I was born in 1950, and I do solemnly promise to draw near to you, to grow deeper in my relationship with you. And my prayer this year will be found in the words penned by a man named William Thompson in 1904. He said, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. And you see, when mom began to sing that song, It put her in a place to let her know that God, Jesus, has it all. And I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And the topic we're going to talk about tonight, I want to remind all of us in here that if Jesus isn't your all, when trouble comes, you will be a going. You will be a running. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But in addition, Mama used to sing this song. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. There, you remember it. And the joy we share as we carry them, none other has ever known. Sometimes we need to moan that song sometimes because the burden is too heavy. And then sometimes when she gets the victory in Jesus, you know, she would come back with, just a closer walk with thee. And she'd start moving like this. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Some of you understand that when we get down, we need to sing those songs that remind us that Jesus said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? And sometimes we need to get those songs. And I got a little songbook here. I'll break it out in a few minutes. But today I have an outline, and let's see. I want to start with something that Jesus promised us in John 16:33. Because when you look at that, I want us to remember that troubles are coming. You hear me? We get saved and we think it's all over, some of you. But some of us guys as older than dirt knows that God said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. He says, in the world you will have tribulation / troubles. Uh-oh. What am I going to do? But be of good cheer. I have overcome. I have overcome the world. And I actually use the next one sometimes in weddings, but nobody will let me say it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there's a verse that I love. It says, but even if you marry, you have not sinned. And for virgin marries, she have not sinned. But the next line, what does it say? Nevertheless, you will have trouble in the flesh. No amen? For you that are married, you know exactly what we're talking about. You will have trouble. And so, in the face of trouble, what do I do in the face of trouble? And so, I think that next slide will roll around and it will say, when trouble comes a-knocking. When trouble comes a-knocking. Because that's the message tonight that I hope to just kind of share with all of us today, is that when trouble comes a-knocking, do we run, flight, fright, or frenzy? Now, I have a great frenzy story to share with you. I didn't ask my wife for permission, but she'd be okay. When I was saved, I came to know Jesus Christ, and there was a night in my studies. I was going to Biola. I was working full time. I'd get home at 2, stay for about 45 minutes, and I'd go to work, and I'd work from 3 to 11. The times may be a little off, but I would come home at midnight, and I would study till 4 in the morning. Did that for 6 years, but in the process of doing that, there was one night when I was studying, and I finished my studying, went to bed at 4 o'clock like clockwork. And by the way, if you were here this weekend, I'm a firstborn only child. So I got issues. Like this. But I went to bed and we slept on a water bed. That's important. In the 70s, because about 4:15, maybe a little bit earlier, a car came through the bedroom that I was sleeping in. There's a desk by the bed that I had just left, and the desk went flying across the room, and the glass was flying across the room. And of course, when I hit the bed at 4, by 4:10, I was lights out. I jumped out of bed en naturel and began to jump up and down and tell my wife, "There's a car in the house." She was sound asleep, didn't even move. So already there's trouble, eh? So the trouble came. I jumped out of bed and I went to investigate. I was mad. I was trying to decide whether to run, get scared. I opted on frenzy. I went away distracted. I ran out and I was headed out of the bedroom down the hall, into the living room, out the front door when this voice said to me, "Honey." I said, "I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to investigate what's going on." She said, "Honey." I said, "Baby, I'll be back in a few minutes." She said, "Honey, you might want to put the robe on." I use that example because that's what happens sometimes when we get so distracted because of trouble. We don't even think right. That can lead us into making decisions that are not good for us. So when trouble comes a knocking tonight, what will we do? Will you panic? Will you run in a different direction? Will you throw up your hands? Or will you say, "You know what? Jesus knows, and I'm going straight to him. And I'm going to tell him all about my troubles. He said, 'Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you.' And that's what I'm going to do." All right, so our theme tonight is, our theme verse tonight, very briefly, is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And let me read that to you. "Therefore, also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, ladies and gentlemen, trouble will come, but we're in a race. And we started that race, I did, on the day that I got saved, January 26, 1974. I know that's older than dirt. But I got saved that day, ladies and gentlemen. I realized that I needed a Savior, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That I knew. And then I was perplexed until I took a trip into Romans. Now, you guys know Romans Road, but let me just kind of put things in perspective. "But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that's important for me and for you who do not know Jesus Christ, is that in the midst of trouble, you got to know God. You got to know his Son, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day that we might have eternal life. Amen? But with that eternal life, guess what? He's there when we need him. And when trouble comes a knocking, I'm going to go to my Bible. I'm going to go to the Word of God that I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against him. And I'm going to rely on his Word. Amen? We need to be men and women of God who have chosen to rely on the Word of God. That's very, very important. But when we look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, the purpose of the theme of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ and Christianity. It works every time, by the way. Christ is superior in both his person and his priesthood. One writer said, Hebrews shows the superiority of the power of faith and hope in Christ. When I'm in trouble, I don't say, I hope so. I don't say, well, I think God will be there. God said he'll be there. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen? We have to rely on the word of God. And then he says, another writer says, Hebrew has to do with the relation of the king to the one nation for which he came, and that's Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I asked the crew to put up this slide of my Bible. Let's see if it goes up. There it is. You see that Bible right there, ladies and gentlemen? That Bible is pretty special. I wish you could see it. I have a Charles Ryrie Bible. And in this Charles Ryrie Bible, it's signed by Charles Ryrie. But there was a guy that wrote it. He is the editor-in-chief. He was executive editor of the New King James Version of this Bible. And this is his personal Bible. And when you look at my Bible right there, too bad, it's kind of blurry. He looks like he got hit by the Holy Spirit. He started writing in the margin, and he's writing Greek, and he's got things all the way down the side. Let me ask you, you ever been hit by the Word of God, and you just can't find a notepad? You're going to put it in the Bible. You're going to put it there so it'll be there the next time you need it. You understand? I know some of you believe in a clean Bible, but grandmama, my wife's grandmama, used to say, son, a clean Bible is a dirty Christian. She said, a dirty Bible, like what you see up there? Clean Christian. Now, you got issues with that. You can take it up my grandmother, my wife's grandmother, but she's dead. So you'll talk to her when you get to heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to write in this Bible as God speaks to us. And in a moment of trouble, we need to pull out the word. Some of you know that you don't remember where passages are. But boy, I tell you, you can start turning the pages. You got it highlighted. You got it underlined. But may I ask you one thing? If you highlighted it and you underlined it and you're not living by it, you're going to be in trouble when trouble comes. Because you won't be able to understand. You don't have it, the word hidden in your heart. It gets there when you start writing and go back over and write it again. So you know what? Just underline all those things that you hear. And so you can go back and sometimes get alone with God in your quiet time and say, God, show me this verse. You reveal your word to my heart. I don't want any interpretation that sounds good to me. But God, I want you to speak through your word. You need that when trouble comes a knocking. Amen? Well, anyway, that's my Bible. And I'm going to break out some more too. But when you look at this race that we're talking about, Paul said, run the race. And I have a picture here, but you're not going to see it, so too bad. Oh, there it is. You see that picture? When you look at verses 1 and 2, can you imagine you being in this spiritual race and you've thrown this and you've thrown that? You're throwing away fear. You're throwing away anger. You're throwing away judgment. All of that stuff keeps you from running. And that's why I love this picture. I love it because it just reminds me of, I got to shed some things. You know, you got things in your closet that God says, you know, you got to let that go. Or maybe it's not in, maybe it's unforgiveness that you've been holding on to. Hey, you know what? It's weighing you down. C.S. Lewis said, I believe that unforgiveness is like you taking cyanide pill, wishing the other person would die. You are one miserable person because that's weighing you down. You can't run this race that God has set before us. And we need to lay all that aside, keeping our eye on Jesus Christ and running for the goal, the prize of the upward call of Christ in our lives. So when I got saved in January, I was all in. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, I started running on January 26th. I still ain't run. I'm not done yet. Now, I have to ask you to forgive me. I'm from the South, so sometimes I might get into the But I'm not done running, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not tired. I'm not gazing my navel, Lord, and one more trouble. I don't know. I don't know if I can do this, Lord. So this outline today, I'm going to tell you up front, so if I get lost, you'll know I meant well. But the outline that God has laid on my heart is, number one, we need to run this race with encouraging testimonies. Now, I'm gonna fly through it so you guys can do the Philly freeze on the slide for a second. But my outline goes this way. We're going to run this race with encouraging testimony. Two, we're going to run this race without hindrances. Three, we're going to run this race with endurance. And four, we're going to run this race like our lives depended on it. Because it does. I hope that you're in this race for the long haul. I know you've heard it before. Walking with Jesus is not a sprint. What is it? It's a marathon. And some of us may run this race for 40 years. Some of us may 2 weeks. But we're in a race. And I love that. Okay, so number one is run the race with encouraging testimonies. There, we can go back to that number one, I think. All right. Yep, there it is. So the first point I'm here is that biblical testimony. You remember the beginning of this verse? It said, therefore. What is the therefore? What is the therefore? What is the therefore? F-O-R. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't figure, this thing could run from chapter 11, and most of chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith. And you see all of those people. And I wish you had a Scofield Bible. Scofield breaks it all down, every last one of them. But then when you look at that list of people that have been running the race since the beginning of Genesis, all the way through Scripture, they're not there. Some people feel like it's a cloud of witnesses. You know, that the cloud of witnesses are those people rooting you on. But I think better yet, and some scholars agree with me, that this running the race, ladies and gentlemen, with this cloud of witnesses, means that they have stood the test of time. And if they can stand the test of time, looking forward to Jesus Christ, we can stand the test of time no matter what happens. These are our encouragers. Those are the ones that are saying, hey, look what happened. A brother came to me yesterday. He didn't know this, but I was going to talk about this. And he has some things going on in his life. But what I love about what he said was, I'm going to do what God asked me to do. And he said, I love chapter 11 because it says, by faith, this happened. By faith, this was accomplished. By faith, this happened. The same thing he says, I'm looking forward to when I get before Jesus he'll say, by faith, I ran the race. I didn't quit. By faith. And so let that be an encouragement to you that when you run this race, we've already got a cloud of witnesses that are there. They're rooting us on. And I can imagine myself, you know, they say, I don't know how to say this, so I'll just go ahead and say it. Some of us don't swim. But that was dispelled in the most recent Olympics, wasn't it? Some of us are not found in water polo, many of us, but that got dispelled too. So let me just tell you, I don't walk in any water that I can't walk out of. I swim like a rock. So I can get in serious trouble. So this race that we're running in, we do that real well. I got skinny legs. That's why I didn't wear shorts for about 10 years. I got so many comments on my racing legs. But I can run. And we used to say, feet, don't fail me now. And we'd break out in the run. But ladies and gentlemen, this is a race. This is a race that we're in. It's a good race. God has set the course. It may be hilly, it may be curvy or whatever, but God has already set the course. So we have a cloud of witnesses, and B on here is mentoring testimony. So we have a biblical testimony, chapter 11, and then we have a mentoring testimony. Now, the mentoring testimony, what I love about this, and I said mentoring testimony provides the wisdom section. So we had a cheering section, now we got a wisdom section. And Romans 15:4, I believe, it should come up, maybe that. But I will read it to you. Romans 15, chapter 4. I might have left that off, but we got it here. No worries. Says this: for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. And a writer put it this way, and I've got a quote here. I then explained that the word patience means endurance, and that comfort means encouragement. And one of the best ways to develop endurance and encouragement is to get to know the godly men and women of the Old Testament who ran the race and won. He says, if you're having problems with your family, read about Joseph. If you think your job is too big for you, study the lives of Moses. If you're tempted to retaliate, see how David handled the problem. And I want to add this mentoring. I believe that this mentoring is important for all of us to have an older sister or an older brother in the Lord who have walked this race before us, and that they can encourage us. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Satan wants to keep you isolated. He doesn't want you talking to any people who have a testimony for Jesus Christ. He wants you to think, man, life is dull. Life is, I can't do this. I can't even do it as a Christian. And so I want to encourage you, find that person in your life that has a testimony. Now, ladies and gentlemen, confession is one thing. I stub my toe every day. Or I drink water instead of eating. I don't know what it is. That's a confession. But a testimony is I stub my toe every day and I rejoice because God has began to make me aware that I need to look where I'm going. We need testimony. We need that, yes, I've had the same thing happen to me. And you know what? This is what verse that God brought to mind. This is what I did. And now I've got victory in Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're living all alone when trouble comes, you're going to think you're the only person in the world that's going through it. And you're not. I guarantee you somebody has gone through that trouble before. So we need a mentoring testimony, not just in the Word, but in the Word, but also look for that person who's walked with God and has never faltered. Or if they have, they've gotten up and continued to run. Because we need to know what did they do when they saw trouble coming. Amen? And then the third one under that first point is fellowship of the saints testimony provides what I call the strategic session. So I got a cheering section. I got a witnessing section, a wisdom section, I'm sorry. And I have a strategic session. And that's the fellowship of the saints. I put this verse up because it means the world to me, ladies and gentlemen. Hebrews 10:23. So let us hold fast our confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as some are in the manner of doing, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day fast approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, we need encouragement. Amen? And when I hear that God has been doing a work in your life, I'm encouraged. So that when trouble comes my way, I'm going to remember it. And I'm also going to surround myself with the fellowship of the saints. Satan will make you or have you believe that, you know, you don't need anybody but yourself. And I believe that that's a lie from the pit of hell. We need one another. Our gifts are to be used for others. We don't take that gift and sit on it. We take that gift, let God use it, and then we flow it out this way. Amen? In and out. And we want to make sure that we're doing that for the glory of God. All right, point number two is the run without hindrances. And I'm going to fly through this because there's something I got to show you. Number one is shake off detractors. And ladies and gentlemen, when you're in trouble, I believe that Satan sends things that will distract you, that get you looking over here. He enhances your peripheral vision, so you're more worried about what's going on over here. And, you know, you're headed this path, and all of a sudden you're down here. Watch out for distractors. So let me read Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, or against the rulers of this age, the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickednesses in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ladies and gentlemen, this verse is very important for me. It's very important because when the enemy comes or trouble comes, there's distractors or things that will distract us that will create problems. I'm going to jump to the slide that says with the, I made a cartoon, Craig, Sibley, I had him do some illustrations for me, and this is just the beginning sketches, but I want to use it tonight in terms of something that will distract you, all right? The first one here, that's a man standing with an armor. He looks handsome. He's got all the armor of God on, all right? I want you to walk with me real quick through this. And the next slide is, what's different? He dropped the sword. What is the sword? The word of God. When you get distracted, ladies and gentlemen, you may have a tendency to stop reading the word. You put it down. You don't come back to it. The next two slides are what's on my Bible. You see that? That's in Luke 13, 14, 15, and 16. Holy Spirit got in touch with him. It got in touch, and it did a number on him. And by the way, I looked it up in the Greek. Everything he wrote was right on. But he was immersed in the word. If you don't get immersed in the word, ladies and gentlemen, when trouble comes, you won't have the word. You won't have it, and you'll drop it. What prompted me to go through this was I got called in on a suicide many years ago. And it was a Christian, loved the Lord. And I found on his bedside, on his stand, a nice, fat Bible. But he hadn't read it in a long time. Satan had robbed him to the point that he put down the word. And when Satan robs us of the point of putting down the word, here's what I imagine happening. We're going to drop the sword. Next, we're going to drop the shield of faith. Boom. We don't have any faith anymore. I prayed, nothing happened because we got distracted. We began to lose our faith. We began to doubt. And the man who doubts is like a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, once we drop the next thing we drop the shield of faith. He dropped the breastplate of righteousness. He stopped living the right life. He stopped pursuing righteousness and godliness and faith, love, patience, and gentleness. He gave it up. The next slide is the gospel of peace. Once that goes, because you've been distracted, every place you go, you're uncomfortable. Everything that happens, you have no peace. You can't figure it out. Everything irritates you because you've been distracted. And after that, the next thing that goes is that belt of truth. You see that strong man that was standing at the very beginning? You're beginning to see the real him. The real man. And I believe that the last thing you drop is the helmet of salvation. I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. You've walked away from God. You've gotten distracted, and trouble keeps on coming, keeps on knocking. And you've let go of all of your armor. It's really sweet sometimes. I get you in the office and I say, hey, have you read the word? Well, did you bring your Bible? Well. And we go back and sometimes I can just start reading God's word and watching the faces and the spirit just lighten up. Yeah, you're right. I need to go back to my first love. I need to go back to reading God's word. And so when trouble comes a knocking, I did have a drawing that said, don't retreat. Don't retreat. You see, I like this picture. Now, you can imagine that as he saw the cloud of trouble coming, he's a warrior, but he's going the wrong way. He's not standing fighting. He's retreating. When trouble comes a knocking, don't you be one of those that goes retreating because of distractions. Okay, the second point is under this is a shake off an offense. Now here, what I want us to do is to think about, you know, when you've been offended, sometimes you can't do anything. You're just madder than a wet hen. All right, that's pretty mad, they tell me. But I'm imagining that if I'm a horse, and you know, horses, they put blinders on horses. I've never been able to understand why they put blinders on a horse when it's like this. To me, if you put blinders on a horse, it covers eyes. But they put blinders on a horse, why? To keep him from being distracted. Well, one day I had a horse in my house, yes. My backyard, yes. My daughter, 8 years old. Daddy bought me a horse. I bought a horse. End up taking care of the horse myself. She got distracted with friends. One day I came home and I was working from Medtronic. I came home and I'm my suit and tie, and all of a sudden I hear a bang outside, and I look out of the window and I see two ears going down the driveway. That horse had gotten out. That noise had distracted him and he took off and running. Man, that horse went down my block. And I live in downtown, I'm not downtown, but I live in the city of P-Town, Pomona. And so when people saw that horse running down the streets, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't even see the horse. All I saw was head. So wherever the head would turn, that's the way I went. Found my horse, and somebody was, a guy on a motorcycle was trying to herd him, you know. But we fixed that. But blinders. I wish that horse had some blinders so he couldn't see. Maybe he couldn't got distracted. But I imagine that when we get offense, it distracts us. So put on blinders. What kind of blinders? I got the fruit of the Spirit here, ladies and gentlemen. Blinders. When somebody offends you, put on love. Put on joy. Put on peace. Put on patience. Put on kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and best of all, put on self-control. You know, I got this car, and before I got saved, my car was my lady. I got saved. Now, you know, the car is just going to burn, so it didn't matter. But I got this car, and I keep it in pretty good shape until yesterday, and God gave me an object lesson. My wife said, no, they're giggling. But she went out to get me some coffee, because all I'm drinking is coffee. You don't know. But I'm drinking coffee because I can't eat. I don't know why. Something about tonight. But I'm drinking coffee, and she went out to get some coffee, and she comes back, and she comes in the house, and so I just get up, and I'm going to help her. I say, hey, baby, I'm going to go help you. She said, no, I got it. No, baby, I'll just go into the car. No, I got it. I mean, that's weird. So I went ahead and walked out anyway, and she said, well, I'm coming with you. But, baby, you don't have that much. And she said, well, the car got a little owie. Now, years ago, ladies and gentlemen, that would have been an offense. Because, I don't know, some of you young ladies know this, but, man, when you mess up a man's car, ooh. I know you know what I'm talking about because I'm not, oh, I got to tell my husband. Oh, he's going to be mad. And so I get out and it wasn't a little thing. But I am so glad that I had some blinders on and I decided, you know what, today I'm going to exercise patience. kindness, goodness, self-control. Ladies and gentlemen, just get in the habit when something happens, put the blinders on. Love covers a what? A multitude of sins. Put them on, ladies, purposely. And I call that you are acting instead of reacting. Because I could have went off crazy on that one. And then the next one says, Proverbs 19:11. It says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. And his glory is to what? Overlook a transgression. You see, that's when it counts. And then my third point was the pride. And I've got the book there, From Pride to Humility. Ladies and gentlemen, when you want to do some real good work on shaking off an offense, get rid of pride. All right? Go buy this book. It's excellent. I highly recommend it. Page 6 tells you to grade yourself on 30 manifestations of pride. You'd be surprised how prideful I am. But I think I got some friends out there. But if there's a lot of pride, you can't shake off things that bug you. It'll become a hindrance, and pride can be a hindrance. Just ask the person that maybe you live with. They can tell you. Number 3 is run with endurance. Okay? Run with endurance. And when you're running this race with endurance, I have Romans 8:38 and 39. I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall what? Separate me from the love of God. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, God is not a priority. He is. Here's what we do with priorities. We move them around. You know? Okay. What 3 priorities? God, family, work. Well, one day God didn't do what you told him to do. You see what I said? What you told him to do? I'm going to take you, God, and I'm going to move you down to number 3. Because I'm mad at you right now. God is not a priority. He is. Everything else you move around. But if you have this inseparable mindset, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Nothing. No trouble will separate you from the Lord. And that's very important. Because Satan wants to divide, kill, steal, and destroy. So don't let him separate you as you run this race. It's God and I. Keep your eye on the prize, the upward call of God, Christ in our lives. Amen? I also said, have a patient mindset. This is Psalm 46:10. Everybody knows it, right? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we need to moan that song. Because you're in flight, fright, and frenzy. And sometimes you need to be still. And the word for be still is to go limp. To abandon, to withdraw, to go slack, to release, to become helpless, to let something or someone alone. You're running this race with endurance. Have a patient mindset. And number 3, have the third point on here is have a mature mindset. Not only that, but we also glory in what? Tribulation. Hey, is that you? We glory in tribulation. That's why I say bring it on. Knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. Produces character, and character, hope. Uh-oh. That's what we have in time of trouble. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out. Amen? I should get some resounding amens on this one, man. This is good stuff. I love learning this from about the Lord. It's exciting. So, we run with a mature mindset. We're growing in our faith. We're maturing. And we can't do it without trouble. So how many of you here going to pray when you go home tonight, God, give me trouble? But when you give me trouble, give me patience. Amen? Work with me, God. Help me to grow in my faith. Help me to grow in my walk. And then number 4, it says run like your life depended on it. Because it does. You understand? Run this race because your very life depends upon it. Eternal life with Jesus Christ. your life dependent on. None of us are here because we just want to get saved and sit. I want us to get saved and run. You understand? Run the race that God has set before us. And I put it this way. Number one under here, committed to stay focused. Gaze upon Jesus. How does the song go? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. You see? Can you imagine what happens if you're singing that song? And you understand that Jesus is your leader. He's the completer. He's run the race already. He's seated at the right hand of God. What are we afraid of? Run the race. Run the race when trouble comes a knocking. Be committed to winning. Oh, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in a way that you may obtain it. Well done, my good and faithful. Amen. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, self-controlled, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. I love that. I'm in this race. I'm in it for good. I'm in it to win. And then be committed to being a participant in the race. This is my favorite verse. I got a bunch of them. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, it's what I use in biblical guidance when I say, you know what? You can't change anything in the past, but you can affect what happens moving forward. Amen? Amen. And you're going to affect what's happening because you're going to look at this. Being committed in a race, that means that not that I've already attained or I am already perfect, but I press on, press on, press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. See, I'm a firefighter. I love fighting for Jesus. The fire of the Holy Spirit burning in my soul. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and what? Reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. We didn't said it several times. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have this. You can easily have this by saying, God, I need you. I'm in trouble. Or if I'm not, it's going to come anyway. But God, let me turn my life over to you. Let me put you on the throne of my life. Let me believe by faith that you died for me. That I repent of my sins. I turn around. I turn the other direction. A 180, metanoia. And God, I'm going to begin to live like I mean it. I'm going to begin to run like I mean it. I'm going to begin to run redeemed. Saved. So, and then I put a D under here. Run like your life depended on it, but D, be committed to being spiritually fit, in shape. Okay? Some of us are out of shape when it comes to God. I remember that verse somewhere in the Bible. I know God said that, but I don't know where it is. You know, Paul said this, but I discipline my body, I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. I want to bring all of that stuff, that self-control, I want to bring all of that thing under subjection to the Holy Spirit. I want God to rule first and foremost in my life. All right, by way of application, good, making good time. I had a picture here, but it wouldn't come out. So let me imagine. You remember I told you I was a runner? At least I think I am. But you know, you saw the Olympics here recently, right? This week. And you see those guys getting down in the blocks? Whoo. And they got to push off on the blocks. So by way of application, I'm going to talk about some blocks that are very important. And the first block that I want you to know as you push off is that Satan will rob you and try his best to rob you of four things. He wants to take away your joy. He wants to take away your faith. He wants to take away your hope. And he wants to take away your praise. That's why I opened with song. I can't tell you my, I mean, if you had me up to EKG, boy, I tell you, they'd have a pedal set. They'd have shock pedals over here when I came out. Because Satan will tell you, don't do that. You have no joy. You have no hope. You have no faith. And please don't start singing. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. You see, that's why Satan needs to hear that from our lips. All right, let me go back to joy. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and will rejoice. No one will take away your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. I think it goes, that your joy may be full. You guys don't remember that, do you? Some of you may remember that. Okay, so I call them four running blocks. But before that, remember, I mentioned it earlier. A thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, I've come that you might have life. And have that life how? That's a reason to be joyful. Have hope. Have faith. And have praise. Remember this. When Satan whispers to you, remember John 8:44? God said to Satan, you are the, he said to the Pharisees, because they were doing evil things, he said, you are the father of the devil. I mean, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he, the devil, is a liar and the father of lies. He sits on your shoulders and he chatters. You can't do that. You call yourself saved? Look at you. Look the way you're thinking. Look what's going on in your heart. And pretty soon you get discouraged. So don't listen to him. Amen? The next one is hope. I look at it as a four-legged stool. One is joy. The next one is hope. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, he says in Psalm 33, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in the faith. Woo! And then Psalm 43:5. This is a good one. I'm almost done. This is a good one because it just reminds me, guys, of you know, David had this split personality thing going. You didn't know that, did you? Listen to what he said. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why so disquieted? Where? Within me. That's what I call gazing at your belly button. Life's hard. I can't do this. Nobody cares. You're looking at your belly button. What should you be doing? Look up. Look up. Look out. Keep your eye on Jesus. I'm sorry, get happy. But he said, oh, my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Here's what he said. Hope in who? Amen. For I shall yet praise him. He's talking to himself again. There's that word. The help of my countenance and my God. The next one is faith. That's the third leg of this four-legged stool. Faith. Where is your faith? And you know, the disciple said in Luke 17:4-5, God said, when somebody comes to you and repents and asks your forgiveness, and he does it seven times in one day, God said, forgive him. The disciple said in the very next verse, you know, they didn't do like me, because I would have told God, you know what? I got three, not seven. After number three, I'm going to say, talk to the hand. But the disciples said to God, you know what they said? They said, Lord, increase our faith. That's the only way I can get through. Increase our faith. So, faith. Romans 5:1-2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, and who has given us the Spirit, as a guarantee. Can I get an amen? Amen? That will make me shout for joy. Guaranteed from God. So as a result of that guarantee, verse 6 says, we are always what? Confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're going to please man. I can tell you that right now. I tried it. Doesn't work. For he who comes to God must what? Must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. By faith, you, and you get to fill in the line. What have you done by faith lately? And then finally, praise. You know how that goes. I could break out in all kinds of songs, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my what? Strength. He will make my feet like deer feet. And he will make me walk on the high hills. Psalm 139:14. I will praise him. Remember that. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I had this little note in here, but you don't need it because I can't find it. But you know what? That's okay. But remember that this fearfully and wonderfully made means you're awesome. You see, Satan will try to defeat you and rob you of the praise that you want to bring out of your heart and your soul as you walk with God. Okay. Psalm 91. I'm going to close with this one. Pretty close. Psalm 91. Can you turn to that for me? I didn't put it up on the screen. It's up there. Awesome. For he shall what? He shall give his angels charge over you. You see this verse? That's for the skeptic that says, well, if I'm looking up at God, what about the path? Don't I need to keep my eye on the path? I knew you were going to say that. But God says, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in what? All of your ways, and in their hands, lest you do what? Lest you dash your foot on a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Hey, can I tell you something? When you want to praise God and you want to keep your eye on him, everything else, I'll tell you in a sentence, God's got this. He's got this. So when trouble comes, don't let your joy, your hope, your faith, and your praise be taken away. So what do? I put this acronym for prayer, for pray. One is, for the P, wait patiently, please, watching and witnessing. Resistance. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Hey, resist the devil and he will what? Stick around? Oh, he will flee. Acknowledge where you stop and where God begins. God, I can't do this anymore. I need you to help me. And then yield. But yield not to fear, not to fright, not to frenzy, but yield to God's will, God's way, God's truth, and God's light. And then finally, when trouble comes a knocking, let joy, faith, praise be a rocking as you finish strong. Yeah. You see, I made that up, but it sounded good. Be rocking in your joy, rocking in your faith, hope, and praise. Acts 20, verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, trouble, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may what? Finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to what? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and I can't remember the rest of it, but you guys know it. I don't have time to sing it anyway. But 2 Timothy 4:7-8 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. So when trouble comes a knocking, 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, watch, stand fast in the faith, be strong, be brave, be strong, and let all that you do be done in. As you do this race, stand, don't retreat. And I got to give you the cross again. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this won't make sense to you. But the day will come when you will stand before the great throne and you will have to give an account how you ran the race, how you finished, or the Bema City of Christ, but I'm mainly about those who do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. 1974, Jesus became all to me, my life, my joy, my all. So that if you do not know Jesus Christ, I want to admonish you again. Understand that we are sinners in need of a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ, who said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then God, in his magnificent way, said that with our mouth we confess. Amen. And this is important, and I want to read it real quick. It says, what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So putting your faith in Jesus Christ, simple. Lord Jesus, I need you. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Take control of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. That prayer, I believe that you died and rose again so that I might have life abundantly and eternal life in heaven. That's the prayer that I prayed January 1974. And as the band comes out, I want to leave you with three things. Don't quit. Don't let Satan rob you. And don't forget to do the do's that you found in these verses. Let us do. Let us get rid of. For those who are walking with Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. And as we started today, God, let your word go out with power tonight. We know troubles are coming. We know that trouble will be knocking on our doors. But our prayer, Lord Jesus, is that we will not run. We will not retreat. We will be like that lady with the issue of blood. She said, I believe if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. May we cling to you and may we run to you, laying aside every weight that so easily beset us, every sin, and run this race as if our life depended on it. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.